You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to Go Plug Yourself. We've been talking to awesome people in Montreal since 2011. Just a friendly reminder that if you're going to be buying anything on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, go to 9to5.cc first and click the links at the bottom or in the sidebar so that we get a bit of that money. Also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and enjoy the show.
Go plug yourself. You plug and mother plugger. Go plug yourself.
I like that.
Sometimes I overpronounce it. Sometimes I underpronounce it. I put in an extra consonant, an extra.
Do you want to introduce our guest, Walter?
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I did it. Let's go plug yourself.
If you
yourself.
Like, come up with a funny nickname, then maybe that Alain Merkana na 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 na. You know what I mean?
Let's call him Merkman.
Today we're here with Alain Mercizzle.
Alain
Mercizzle.
Alain.
I know. LA.
Well,
Al Merkel. Al Merkel. Really as an Anglo, right? You'd be like Alain Mercierger.
Alain Mercheese.
It's funny, too, because our videos, the video promo videos, everyone pronounces my name. That's the running gag.
Or they say Alan?
Elaine. Alien. My whole life was like that.
Your whole life?
Because I didn't grow up.
You know, other people give me shit for referring you as Alan.
No.
Yeah, no. Other people saying, other people, this happens. This is a thing
people
that
give
happens.
You shit?
Like, I'll be not really shit, but Stevie does it. Like, I'll be talking to Stevie. I was like, yeah, I was talking to Alan at Theater St. Gath, and he's like, I know an Alain who works at Theater St. Gath. Was it that guy? Because Alan's an asshole, but Alain is a good guy. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
I feel like Stevie, like, picks his battles. But, like, in the craziest way possible.
Yeah, and the battles are frequently with me.
Oh. There's nothing I can do about your ball dispute.
This is an interlude from a child.
Go plug yourself with the children. I can't do anything about Luca not wanting to give you a ball.
That kid looks like you, man. That kid is totally your kid, man.
So I think this is a bit of a cliffhanger episode. Is Will Luca... give LA's kid.
That'd be
a ball.
Great if that gets settled by the end
of the we can get to some sort of a resolution on this, it'd be awesome.
Let's explain who the guest is.
We haven't started.
Oh, we absolutely have.
Yeah, this is all.
This is how we this is roll. All
really?
We start nice.
Oh, wow.
This is the goldenness right here. Yeah,
we start to warm up. Just the listeners are used to it.
Keith wastes me to say something stupid, like how I don't know how to pronounce the name of the guest, even though I've known him for like multiple years.
So this is an interesting location because we're not in a bar.
You might be able to tell by the presence of children.
It was not a small child that came up to the bar complaining about his ball. Instead,
Ram yelled at him anyway.
Instead, we're in Alain's house. I think, is this our second time recording from someone's house?
We've done at least a second time.
Yeah,
I feel like it might have been another one in here too.
Yeah, this is at least our second time recording from someone's house. Alain, on account, presumably, of the children that he's currently charged with taking care of.
They would have had a great time.
I'm waiting for them to interrupt like a wave of...
Just minute one.
I'm kind of hoping they do.
Be great. And this is your...
My home?
Home? No, I was going to try to transition into why you're a person of import that we're having on the show.
I'm a really important person. Like, one of the top, like, 50 most important independent, underground, unknown artists of our time, I think. Of Montreal, St. Henry.
Of our
St.
time.
Henry,
of
Montreal.
Our time.
Of, like, the of the last few months.
I was like, let's be, like, south of Notre Dame. You know, it's like, you can't take all of St. Henry.
But more importantly, ladies and gentlemen, he's a dad.
Oh,
first and foremost, before all the jokes, and in fact, most of my jokes milk my fatherhood.
So tell us about your first child.
Well, 8 years ago, I was on a tree planting camp.
Are they all here, by the way?
No, one of them's
not around.
One of them's not around.
Okay,
sorry.
There's a couple.
The most beautiful of them.
There's a couple in the back, though.
Oh yeah, there's a couple
having disputes about
balls.
Most children arguments are about balls. So much ball arguing.
They come in a desperate attempt to bring this thing around to promoting. They do show up to opening night Sketchfest. They're always there.
Really?
Oh yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because you can't find a sitter or just
pretty much
for
the
iron.
It's a Tuesday. Right. It's a Tuesday yeah. night. It's a tough night to get a sitter. I mean, and the money we make from the show doesn't quite pay for a good sitter.
Alain is in fact does in fact preside over the theater St. Catherine.
Yes, yes, I'm one of the owners.
How do you say theater St. Catherine? Do you say
no, I say Théâtre St. Catherine.
Just like, when you're speaking English, you're just sort of going head on over
to like that just to creep the shit out of people. Like
No, I say Theatre St. Catherine, or
depending on the language,
depending on who I'm talking to, I say Teatro El Santa Catarina with my Spanish friends, Hispanic friends.
Like all three of them.
Yeah, one and a half.
you can round up.
you really can.
Check the coffee.
Oh,
cool. All right.
Anyway, so yeah, so as Ellen
keep,
will
keep introducing him.
Attest the Theatre St. Catherine next week. When is this going up, Keith?
This is
going
to go up on Thursday.
Good.
The 14th or the 15th, 16th? We'll go up the 16th.
Good.
So and then the opening night will be the 20th?
Yeah.
The 20th.
20th.
On the Monday, we have a French night of sketch, and then we go into English for 5 straight nights.
So that was Alain, who's getting us coffee right now, saying that on Monday there's a French night of sketch, and on Tuesday it's English sketch for five straight nights. So it's gonna be Tuesday to Saturday.
Tuesday to Saturday, exactly.
And yes.
Sunday night improv actually to close.
And I am participating in said festival.
What are you doing?
In a variety of capacities.
Tell us two.
Well, there is only two, so it's a limited.
Glad I didn't ask for three.
It's a limited variety. on the Wednesday evening.
Tell us the second capacity first.
On the Wednesday evening, the new sketch troupe I'm involved is the most exciting new sketch troupe in the city.
This is Go Plug Yourself news.
Yes.
That you're in a sketch troupe.
Yes. It's called Power Struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who is involved in the Power Struggle?
It's myself.
Yep.
Darren Henwood.
Okay.
Who you might remember from this podcast.
I saw Darren on the street, but I was too busy to say hi.
And Jason Hattrick.
Jason Hattrick. Went to high school with Jason Hattrick.
Did you? Oh, yeah. We saw each other that one time. And, yeah, so the three of us.
That's not to take anything away from anybody involved, but that's a weird trio that I would not have. Yes, please.
It's an amazing trio.
I would not have, like, if you had told me I'm in a sketch group, and pick the two people I'm in a sketch group with, Darren might be somewhere on the list. Maybe,
one of the three guys has a Scottish accent, so yeah. It's pretty diverse.
It's pretty diverse.
And then I gotta actually.
You're the only one. You need to rep this. You're the only one from Montreal.
And I gotta verify this point with LA actually. And then I'll be returning the following night. So that's on Wednesday. Power Struggle will be appearing on the Late Show on Wednesday. Then on Thursday I'll be returning to the hallowed grounds of the Théâtre Saint Catherine.
Say it in another accent.
Yeah, I don't know what accent that was. To host, I believe.
Yes. I'm not sure if we have you on the late or the early.
I had volunteered for both.
For both, yeah.
If you want.
I think you'll have an in-house host with you, like me or Sandy or Armstrong.
Well, now Sandy's involved?
Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
Now it's Power Struggle 2.
I'm out.
There's the hosting.
Power Struggle.
So whichever one Alan wants me for, early, late, both. I'll be there on the Thursday, so you should definitely come back for that, too.
I wonder how many Go Plug Yourself guests are going to be involved in Sketchfest. We at least have them. Is Leia doing something?
Yep, she's opening night.
Shane Adamsack?
Shane was going to. No, he canceled. Him and Al LaFrance, they canceled, so he's a former.
Boo.
Yeah.
Boo.
I don't know how. He's got a Fringe show. Just do a chunk of your Fringe show.
Yeah. Stop being a baby.
Shane.
Stop being a baby, Al LaFrance.
Yeah, Shane.
I'm calling you out. We're all calling you
Shane
out.
Shane Adamsack. Death to him.
And Al LaFrance.
The craziest part about Shane Adamsack is I interviewed him. We interviewed him for the Go Plug Yourself for Fringe last year when he was like visiting, and then I kept seeing him around and I was like, do you live here now? And he's like, yes. And I was like, what the fuck happened? He was like a visitor.
Well, is he not in the remount of Vicious Circles at Mainline?
I don't know. He was promoting it. It's definitely on his Facebook.
Yeah, because he's in he's replacing one of the dudes that was in the original production.
Fringe, last year's Fringe Darling show.
Yes.
Vicious Circles. What's that?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I guess that's part of the reason why he sold us out. He's in one of the Sketchfest.
Why he did what? Why he sold us out?
Promotional. He's in one of the Sketchfest promotional videos. He's a cameo of Leia Rondo's intro because they're roommates.
Yeah.
But so, seriously,
he's forgiven.
Fuck Alafrance.
Yeah.
Fucking beard.
Let's get to the real issues.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. These children.
I'm not cutting anything, no matter what you ask.
I know what I'm saying. No, I really, really just
the real
like cutting
issue.
Me and Al are tight. Al knows. I love him.
Al knows I'm just fucking with him.
Al knows I hate him.
Al's got a beard.
Now he's going to know even more.
So, yeah, so there's probably a good gang of Go Plug Yourself people who have been on the show.
But yeah,
now we have the organizer.
So, yeah, so
the
we're
king
so,
of them all.
So, Sketchfest, Monday through.
Through to Sunday, technically. The Sunday is an improv, all-star improv night. But everything else is pure sketch comedy in its unfettered form.
And which edition is this now?
It's the eighth. Eighth edition.
How fettered can sketch comedy get?
Very.
It can get extremely fettered. How did this... So we're Alain. Was Théâtre Sainte-Catherine, Theatre Sainte-Catherine around 8 years ago?
Yeah, it was. It was. Eric started the festival 8 years ago when he... started his theater, basically saw that there was
Eric
Amber was the former Theater St. Catherine owner. He started the festival because there was literally no independent festival in Montreal. Everyone wants to be obviously part of the big daddy.
Yeah.
The Just for Laughs. But there wasn't really one.
I don't know that one. Is that
you never really know. It's in July.
It's like a theater festival?
Yeah, it's like an experimental theater.
Who is that Just for Laughs? Who is that guy? Remember the guy?
The green goblin.
Yeah, the guy from Just for Laughs. You know the comedian who was on Just for Laughs. You know the one.
Mandy Patinkin?
Might have been Mandy Patinkin. So you start up the Sketchfest. Was that part of the reason? Were you guys just like, okay? Fine.
I wasn't there 8 years ago. The first contact I had was
trees.
Go back in time.
I was actually. I always missed it because I was planting trees. I was in other festivals. But the Montreal, I didn't get into it until its fourth year, and I won Best of the Fest. Not bragging, but I'm bragging that I won Best of the Fest.
So you won Best of the Fest, and came back next year and said, "I'm going to run the whole thing."
Yeah, I was like, "Give me it, give it to me."
That's actually the prizes. That's actually the prize. When you win Best of the Fest next year, you get to run the whole thing, and then you just held on to. You changed the rule the next year. You're like, that's not the rule anymore.
But guess what? Now I'm running it. It still is the rule. He's just a defending champion. He's like 4-time Best of the Fest champion. He keeps giving it to himself, just all the time.
No, we did just get some good news though. Actually, 3-time champion, Triple Crown winner of sketch comedy, Elephant Empire is back.
I heard about it.
So is my son. What's up, Goose?
Found a ball.
Okay, that's great. That's going to annoy the neighbors.
And he does it again.
And
just to make sure. Nope.
Gustav.
Not hearing a thing.
I really hope the mic's picked up that. The child.
A good child groan.
Come on, Dad. I see you're clearly doing something, and I would like to bounce a ball.
Yeah. See, I have no, like...
It's like
hold it together, Walter.
Imagine you were placed into a sitcom.
Yeah,
that's where we are
right
now.
This is what we have that radio doesn't. It's just children literally walking into the area.
True, there's one thing radio lacks: it's children in the studio.
I thought I was gonna guess that kid was like 7 or something.
He's a giant. Like, he's a large
baby or child.
Yeah.
Yeah,
baby, don't baby, let him hear baby you call
child.
Him a baby.
Yeah,
baby child.
So how did you get into
baby child?
How'd you get into? I don't know. How old are you?
He's 8 and a half.
Judging from the size of your son, you're 9 and a half. Got into Sketchfest when you were 4.
Hey, so. Goose, get out of here. Stay outside, bud. Have fun out there. It's spring. No, I'm 32 years old.
Okay.
And, you know, I've been doing sketch comedy since I was, 21 in Toronto. Started out. Did their first ever festival.
Really? You gotta boo Toronto. Fuck them.
I don't know. I'm over the Toronto hate.
Good.
You better be. Fuck you. Own Theater St. Catherine. If you're not over the Toronto hate, you would just burn it to the ground and, like, protest. You're just like, fuck this theater from Toronto.
Sketch comedy is an interesting world. It's good to see.
It's very lucrative, I believe.
Yeah, super well paid.
Right.
I'm like a 10,000-aire. Because of sketches.
That's sweet.
YouTube profits.
That's sweet.
I'd actually hazard a guess that it's, like, It's okay, like, if I'm trying to, like, think internet terms, you probably have a better chance of making a viral video as a sketch comedy group than you would as a comedian. As a comedian, yeah. You're just, like, you're just standing up there. Comedian, I think you can
or
do...
If you make one of those girl, one of those videos with a girl with big tits.
Yeah,
That works, too.
Yeah, we're underage Asian women.
No, just you put, like, one picture of a girl with big tits, but then you put that as the thumbnail
as
on
thumbnail.
YouTube. Yeah.
And then it's just a bunch of dudes hitting each other, like, in dicks with, like, paddles and stuff.
Which is which is your definition of sketch comedy. It's a go-to power struggle. It's just a bunch of dudes hitting each other.
By the way, anybody listening to this is going to come out. If anybody has like access to some like canoe rows or paddles, like, I need those.
for my sketch comedy.
I think it's true, though. That's an interesting observation. Sketch comedians is really difficult, I'd say, to live. Doing a lot of live shows and making money from it.
Yeah.
Not that many. You can't go on tour. Well, it's very rare anyways.
It's hard to organize.
Versus a stand-up who they're all constantly on tour and constantly getting paid for live gigs sometimes. But whereas on YouTube, yeah, just putting up stand-up comedy on a YouTube is not very lucrative,
it's
I don't think.
Tough sell. Like,
yeah.
You just be like a guy standing there like telling jokes versus...
But some stupid sketch on YouTube can make you a fucking sweet coin. Like Picnic Face, those guys made quite a fair amount of money, I believe.
Yeah, we found out about that last year. There was like a YouTube panel at the JFL, and they were talking about like YouTube partnerships, and they're not even allowed to disclose the exact financial arrangements because it's different for all YouTube partners.
No,
like
it changes based on like how many copyright songs you're ripping off and things.
All
like
that,
tons of things,
a whole bunch of crazy stuff. But either way, though, it's like apparently the I think it's like if you have like about 5 million views, you can get like $10,000 cash. Money off of it. So
I heard even more than that.
Well, some of the older YouTube contracts were way more lucrative. Like I forget who some of the YouTube legends or whatever else like that, like Lonely Girl or whatever.
Yeah.
Like she made even more, but I think they've like rolled it back. But even still,
Lonely Girl.
Huh?
Who's Lonely Girl?
She's just like a girl talking to you.
Yeah. No, there was more to it though. It was like a whole.
No. There was more.
There was more to it. I thought the same thing. I was just like a stupid girl blogger. But then like it started to be like. There was, like, she would, like, slowly reveal, like, plot elements to her blogger story, and then she was, like, kidnapped or something, and then there was, like, this whole, like, thing that was just still told only through the...
Oh, well, that's cool to know that there was a narrative there.
It was way more interesting, because I was like, how is she, and
was
this
there,
is
like,
fucking stupid.
Slenderman and stuff, or...?
Kind of. I don't think it was a Slenderman thing, but it got, like, really, like, got, like, weird and dark. Like, so I think, like, the whole buildup of her just being a regular... video blogger, whatever,
I
had
really,
some sort of a payoff. I don't think I'd want to watch it all.
I wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't really listening.
That's
so
cool.
I'm just gonna pretend that we found
that
story.
That I think is the weirdest fucking thing of YouTube. The YouTube video bloggers who become famous for just staring into the camera and talking about.
No,
their day.
It drives me
insane. Some of them have really good hair, though.
Some of them are hot.
There's something just. It's just part of this sort of individualistic society of ours that kind of sickens me. Okay, good job, buddy.
Sharing. Elaine's son just exhibited.
We have a fourth mic, by the
sharing.
Way.
Strap it on the kid.
I would not be opposed.
Is it like, as a sketch comedian, are you like, that's bullshit? Someone should not get famous for sitting there talking about their day.
Yeah, it's interesting. And now that YouTube is becoming, is basically a legitimate TV station. It's like it's a new TV station in one regard.
Yeah.
It's interesting to now be like, okay, you have to take these things seriously. And so, because before it was sort of like this bulletin board for the whole world.
Yeah.
But now they're going to start having, I mean, you look at I don't know if you heard of Machinima.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
they
yeah.
have this, they have, you know, 7 million subscribers. That's more than most, you know, that's like Netflix style numbers and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, it's like, oh, I want to get a job now with them.
Yeah.
And whereas before it was just like, well, look at all these retards that are throwing.
I think there's still a lot of the retards.
Oh, there still are. It's just that that there's been, I guess there's been so, it's the YouTube just a facilitator. I used to view it almost as a facilitator of retards and a great freedom of expression, a great, you know, vehicle for freedom of expression. But now it's a TV channel. It's a legitimate. It's like CBC. It's probably got more. YouTube is probably. It's definitely much more popular than CBC or maybe not NBC, but I don't know how much. It's
certainly,
it's
probably more popular than CBC. We,
that's
only,
for
we
sure.
only have 30 million people in Canada,
yeah.
right? If like Machinima has 7 million subscribers.
We claim.
Are you going to contest
Northwest
this?
Territories?
I never.
Probably has a million.
I've frankly always had a hard time with the 30 mil number.
Really?
Oh, is that like 35 now? What's up? What's up, Goose? Yeah, sure, go ahead.
What's he watching these
he
days?
He wants to watch a movie.
And I caught that.
You want to know what movie he's really into these days? John Candy, Berserk.
What?
I swear to you.
What's that? It's an old-timey... It's like an obscure John Candy
film. I have like a John Candy Berserk? Omnibus. Berserk, it's really funny.
The omnibus of John Candy, where it's like all the movies you know, and then Berserk.
And it's like the black dude from Ghostbusters is in it.
Ernie Hudson?
Yeah, and Joe Bing. Flaherty. But a guy who's just life's fallen, sort of, he's just sort of a midlife crisis kind of guy. And he ends up in the jungle. It's pretty hilarious.
It's like falling down.
Yeah, it's like a wacky version of falling down. Wacky, less successful version of falling down. Jesus.
I didn't really enjoy that film. Sorry.
Falling Down is a good movie. Yeah.
Okay, it's.
It's his first big bold choice as a viewer of films for a 3-year-old to like John Candy Berserk.
Berserk. Yeah.
Is that his first? Is that his first movie that he's really into? Like.
No, he was really into Goonies for a while.
That's a
it
sweet
was crazy,
choice.
And that's where he learned to say "oh shit" because they actually say "oh shit" in Goonies, and he would say it at day. He still says it everywhere, but now he knows he's not supposed to say it.
Yeah. So weird. Like, you know, there's like they go through so many words in the film, probably like other like silly, funny sounding words. Why, you know, why? Like, why does it just like,
yeah, he fixates
just
on the
zone
shit.
In on that?
Yeah, I
also think there's just a lot of more fucking swearing in children's movies back in the day because Princess Bride had an oh shit moment too, right? Like,
but Princess Bride was sort of known as a slightly
you can have a couple,
yeah, but like now you can't even,
yeah. Goonies, yeah, Goonies is clearly a children's movie to have oh shit in it.
It's a PG-13 children's movie.
I don't think it was.
That's true, yeah. It was because
probably Gene Quebec.
Just because of the huge Toxic Avenger guy, I think. That probably knocked it up to PG-13.
Buena Vista home video release?
You may have.
Are these VHS? Are you watching VHSs?
No, this one's a DVD. Yeah.
Sloth. The character's name is Sloth. The Toxic Avenger looking dude. Who would win in a fight between Sloth and the Toxic Avenger? Walter, thoughts?
I've never... This is going to be crazy talk now. I've never actually seen Goonies from start to finish.
I thought you were going to say Toxic Avenger, and I was going to be... I don't even know if I'd be more or less mad at you.
Toxic Avenger I've seen. Obviously.
Have you ever seen the Goonies, though?
Goonies is nice. Yeah, it's hard to watch at times, but
I find it overly vulgar, actually. I really do.
Okay, Grandpa.
From the bits I see, it's weird. There's like... It's that whole class of youth-oriented films from like the... From the 80s and stuff.
Like, name another film that you're talking about. Brat Patrol?
It's not that vulgar.
It's
kind of
vulgar. It's a little vulgar.
No, like, it's not.
Vulgar in a not kind of...
Childishly vulgar?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not even
There's
that
There's like Corey Feldman lines of like, yeah, like when he's taking the Spanish Hispanic housewife around and he makes some... But not really, though. The best is Josh Brolin. It's just worth it just to watch Josh Brolin.
Yeah. And what's his name?
Corey Feldman.
And the other one, the kid.
Oh, Short Round?
Kid from Rudy?
Yeah, the kid from Rudy and Short
Rudy!
Round.
Rudy!
Yeah, the kid from Rudy. Sean?
I saw Sean.
I like to think of
Sean
him.
Astin.
Sean Astin. I like to think of him as the kid from Encino Man.
We saw we saw Rudy, man. I saw Sean Astin speak.
We saw
speak,
Rudy,
speak
man.
A couple
we were
months
like,
ago.
Rudy! And he
no,
did not answer.
We saw Sean Astin
speak where?
In Toronto, like at a comic book convention and stuff.
Wow.
And he was there. And like,
probably
and,
there because he was a hobbit.
Yeah. And everybody, like, most of the people that are marking out for, like, sorry.
Hobbit.
Are losing it for, because they get all into his Lord of the Rings stuff. And but then there's like me and like one other guy in the crowd. It's just like, okay, questions. It's like, yeah, when can we expect Rudy 2? Like, what are the chances of a Rudy sequel happening?
I think that the missing out on a gold mine just on the basis that it would be called Rudy 2.
Rudy 2.
And it would be spelled T-O-O.
Exactly.
Sally, you having a good time so far? Talk about Sean Astin and
yeah,
Rudy.
Yeah, I'm glad I can bring my kids' film choices.
Same question. Who would win, Sloth or Toxic Avenger?
Toxic Avenger or Rudy?
Rudy, for sure. I'm a sucker for real.
I don't know, because Rudy has a lot of heart, but so does Toxie, though. I mean, let's be fair here. These are both characters with lots of heart.
It depends what kind of fight, I guess, you know.
A fair one.
A fair one. street fight or if it's in like an arena of some kind, I think Rudy has a better chance because the refs, when Toxic Avenger gets crazy, the refs may separate them and then he'll have time to regroup, get his morale up again, and then win the fight.
What's the worst sketch you've ever seen at Sketchfest? Oof. Because I was talking about, like, I mean, we're...
This is a nice transition. It's going to sound like we cut something out.
we're expecting...
We just cut straight from that. What's the worst sketch?
My troop, Power Struggle, check them out, Wednesday evening, late show, is expecting, you know, to just take the whole thing. We're just going
to... Oh, yeah.
Is there an award for worst?
Yeah, there's three awards.
Oh, there is a worst?
Yep.
Okay, because we might be that, too. But probably not, though. Probably the best, but maybe the worst. So we were wondering...
No middle ground.
What's the worst? What's the worst you've ever seen?
Oh, God. I've seen some pretty interesting ones. Like...
You don't have to name names.
Yeah, I won't name
Please
names.
Please name every name.
One time there
remember.
Was one sketch that involved nudity.
Oh, God.
That really, really threw me for one. I mean, the set was already...
Were your kids there for that one?
No, that one. Thank God. And I'm fine with nudity. I've seen some very funny sketches that involve nudity. I'm not opposed to it or anything like that. But this was just, there was a sort of, it was already because the set was pretty bad. So you felt like this was like their moment, like, oh yeah, this is really going to change the tides. But instead, it like created a dark cloud over the whole, and you almost felt that feeling when you're like in a psychiatric ward, or when you see like, you know, you feel sorry.
Well, I just heard the Ghostbusters theme.
I gotta go. Ghostbusters is playing in another room. So did they all get naked? What's the story?
No. Just one of them. And
male,
female? It was a female. And I don't want
to. 1 to 10?
Dude. It wasn't even so much that as that it was like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this?
Because it
wasn't funny.
It was just like a desperate cry for shock value.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like,
yeah.
So there's multiple people in this sketch troupe, I imagine, right?
Yeah.
And there's just one woman who's undressing.
Yeah. I'm like just going to cry. I feel like just bringing
Was it like pin drop too? Like was like the audience just like I...
There was a few like...
Nervous chuckles?
Cough lap kind of like or like... Yeah, nervous chuckles, and it was okay. What's going on here? But it didn't really develop. I can't remember the exact premise of the sketch.
Was it striving for humor?
It was. I assume.
That's something else I'm wondering now because it is a sketch festival, a sketch comedy festival. Comedy is pretty inherent in it. Have you ever had any sketch troupe that's tried to go against the grain and try to put
McStevie?
Stevie.
McStevie, my one friend described him as the Robert Crumb. His set with Betts and Sandy as the Robert Crumb of comedy. Like, it was so offensive, but it was rehearsed and it was done as well as any other sketch troupe. I would say it's just the material itself was extraordinarily offensive and graphic.
Do you know who Robert Crumb is? Keith?
Yes, yeah. The artist.
Yes.
But you know. Those are two. Or McStevie's set was interesting. I really enjoyed it. But to be honest, I mean, I think one of the best sketches ever. I think a lot of people in Toronto could attest this to Elephant Empire though, and I really hope they redo it. It was premiered, I believe, at the Montreal Sketchfest. It's called Peebers, about a guy, a boxer, who gets knocked out, and Pete uses the audience to try and cheer to get the boxer to keep going back into the ring. And so he used the audience to keep getting this boxer to go back, and he keeps getting knocked out. So eventually he tells the audience not to do it. But the boxer wants the audience to do it, and it's Peebers. It's just chant Peebers. You know, just as long as you yell Peebers, he'll go back and fight. And so it created this fervor in the audience of like, are we going to – the audience decides whether we send back this guy into the sketch. And like it was the funniest thing I think I've ever – people were just – keeling over. They did it in Toronto after, and apparently it went even better. It got even better somehow, but it was honestly one of the specialist moments I've ever
Did you say specialist?
One of the specialists.
That's awesome. Let's get the 3.5-year-old in here and ingrain that one in his head, shall we?
Yeah. Specialist. I was just trying to – I was doing that just by trying to sort of give the full spectrum.
Right.
Like McStevie being the middle ground, like halfway between avant-garde and hilarious and offensive and terrible.
So we're going to start out our sketch – all naked. We're start naked.
You, Jason Hadrick, and Darren Henwin. That's like tattoos to me.
Tattoos and whiteness.
Yeah, and pale, unhealthy things. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It's
gonna be that'd be a good start.
Yeah. I think. Good way to start, get the energy up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be puppetry of the penis, but we're all going to be puppeteering each other's penis.
Oh, God. I was, like, trying to somehow,
I'm glad
like,
that power struggle is really, like, the expectations now are high.
Oh, man.
When did this happen? Like, did this happen when I went away? Like, how long have you been planning this?
What answer would make you feel better?
Months.
No, I'm curious. How long has power?
We do have bits. We have sketches. They're in the stages of rehearsal.
Okay.
They're going to be amazing, and may or may not involve obscene amounts of nudity.
Okay.
I cannot attest. It's a pretty broad comedy spectrum from the three of you guys, though. It's like you're all very different comedians, so.
We're all white dudes.
Okay, wow. You're all white dudes.
They all different. They're different tones. Like you got Walter the geek comic.
A little bit.
Jason. I wish I was.
Most elaborate jokes is about the cartoon All Stars.
That's not a geek joke. That's not a geek joke. I keep saying that's not a geek joke. There's like so many super mainstream references in that. Like Ninja Turtles and Bugs Bunny. Yeah, geek. Oh, it's so geeky. It's like, who's
going to... It's a pop culture geek joke.
Yeah, whatever. It's not geeky. Anyway.
All right.
It's a little geeky.
You know what? Look, I'm just saying. I'm saying here, you guys continue on this BS. Ghostbusters is playing in another room.
Pretty sure. It is.
Pretty sure. So I'm just going to get up and leave. I'm gonna watch fucking Ghostbusters, and I'll just like yell something every once in a while.
So is this gonna be the best Sketchfest ever?
It is, man. It is, and honestly, it's because of people like Power Struggle, groups like the locals. It's the best local year I've ever been a part of. Anyways,
I swear to God, I came this close to saying who's Power Struggle, and legitimately too. Hey.
Which was Power Struggle? Tell us about them.
And it's like literally they're all like Power Struggle. Like all these Montrealers this year, are like, oh yeah, I'll throw together. I'll throw together some sketches.
Can we retake that and have you say that with more confidence and not use the word throw together?
I'm gonna make an audio clip for a commercial for Power Struggle. I'll throw together some sketches.
A lot of really talented Montreal local emerging artists.
There you go.
Are coming together.
I'm established.
I'm
very well established.
Mid-emerging, semi-professional artists are coming together. Some people have been working on this for Jubaka. Josh Button, I know, is like, for him, this is like the gold medal of gold medals. And he's
just participating?
Yeah, I think just being able to do his original stuff and have an audience for it and everything like that. But there's so many a lot of Montreal improv people. I'm excited to see Vance's troupe 52 Pickup. I'm excited to see a lot of troops, man. There's these Get Out Your Own Juice. There's Get Off the Stage, Bring Your Own Juice. And then there's the Gerard Harris's, our international sketch comedy troupe.
Kyle walking?
There's Kyle Allat.
Yeah, I'm saying, is he walking?
Oh, is he walking?
He was all fucked up.
What did he do
weeks
exactly?
Ago.
Oh, really?
He had surgery like on his Achilles tendon.
Yeah, he's like
oh
Tim was saying that he just like jogged across the street and like ripped open his Achilles tendon or some shit.
That just happens to people,
which
like,
is so terrible.
I hope he can still do the sketch festival.
No, I think so. He was in surgery like a week or two ago. he can hobble around.
I saw that like the pictures, and I assumed he did it like doing some like theater.
No, it like looked super fucked up, and he was like, nope, crossing the street. I was like.
That's
you
crazy.
Get hit by a car? Nope. Just hopped up onto the fucking curb.
A couple of months ago, I thought I was on the verge of
tearing your Achilles.
I did, yeah, I really did. Like I really did.
You've been hitting the gym a lot.
Yeah, and then it went away eventually. But it took a while to go away. Like that you can screw that shit up pretty easy.
Tearing your Achilles tendon, man, that must just be
not fun.
Not fun at all.
And he looked really messed up, but.
I mean, he always kind of does.
As long as he can do sketches, I don't give a shit about
it. I don't give a shit.
Look, he's booked. He better fucking show up and do his job.
Kill these 10. I got a broken heart.
Fill him up through
a broken brain.
Fill him up full of pills. Throw him on the goddamn stage. Make us laugh. Smile with your eyes, Kyle.
Get him on some somas.
somas would not be good for safe sketch comedy.
Well, it depends on the sketch.
It sounds like a war is going on outside.
The later years of the clique. Are there other kids in the neighborhood?
There are other,
just hearing yours.
This is actually a cooperative.
Really?
Yeah.
How's that work?
It's just there's a committee, and technically I own this place, even though I just pay rent. We have to do all the maintenance.
How many
too,
things? So let's keep count here. So there's this place. There's Theater St. Catherine. Is there like a tree planting operation somewhere like in the sticks of Ontario that you technically own as well? Or
this summer, actually, we're opening up a tree planting camp.
No shit. So, which you're going to technically own?
Yes. I'll be releasing that land.
There you go.
But no, and I did.
But you're still going to maintain technical ownership over it, though, right?
I also have a couple daycares, and
do you really?
I own a school.
Uh huh.
I wish you could own schools.
Yeah,
I just buy up a school. I guess you can private schools, but I'd like to own a public school.
But like, you need to, but even by owning, if you own a private school, you need to like follow these government regulations and stuff like that.
Instead of being called like the Alain Mercieka Academy, it would just be Alain Mercieka's Academy.
Well, I mean, there's alternative schools. I wonder how
they still need to. The kids need to pass standardized tests.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah, but instead
that's the industrial system once again shitting down our throats.
And instead of singing the national anthem at the beginning of every class, at the beginning of class day,
they sing the Ghostbusters theme song.
Pumpkins.
No, the Ghostbusters theme song.
This is alternative.
sing Weezer national anthem. Say It Ain't So.
Lollapaschoolza.
They would teach sketch comedy. You would have a sketch comedy class, like from kindergarten onwards. Every day, you'd have to write a sketch that makes the kids laugh, or else you get kicked out.
But it wouldn't be making the kids laugh; it would be making Billy Corgan laugh, which is next to impossible.
Keith, next year we enter a sketch festival with Lollapaschoolza.
Lollapaschoolza.
We'll throw some sketches together.
I love that, like, we just get sidetracked, basically, and then my promotional brain is like, oh, but now this is the time where I normally bring up, like, the international acts or, like, the things like that.
But
I prefer just riff and riff.
Yeah,
jokes.
Yeah, I mean, you'll touch on that stuff eventually, and there'll be the links and whatnot.
This is a pro set, man.
This is a pro set. I don't know you think.
You just have, like, a robot voice throughout going, sketchfest.com, Montreal, sketchfest.
We could.
I
mean,
no. I don't want to make any.
Oh,
anything,
come on.
Any,
robot voices.
Any more technical than I have to. I could make one of our voices robotic, though. I could just
yeah, but
like.
Walter's is pretty close already.
Select the entire.
I was waiting for that one. I'm like, someone's going to do it.
Which is oftentimes what I look for in a good sketch troupe is someone who is described as robotic.
Oh, wait a second. Walter, have you ever done sketch comedy?
Yeah.
Don't lie to me.
So many times. Why?
Just curious.
Have you really?
No, not really.
Okay.
No, I mean
your knife fight was kind of sketchy.
Yeah, I mean it's to describe that, I mean like it was.
It's like a sketch. It's like a motif. The motif.
If by sketch you mean yeah, like it was like a half hour long, and I was the only person in it. So yeah, I guess in that way.
It was a half hour long sketch.
There was a premise to it for sure. And there's like
to me, it's like knife. You did like vignettes on knives. You know, variations on knives.
It's the most artistic way I've ever heard anybody. You just gave that show way too much legitimacy. Oh, man. But why do you ask about
an
I'm
just curious.
Background.
I like it when people are like, I'm going to try sketch for the first time in my life, and they use Sketchfest as that ground.
Well, we'll get to that later. I mean, there's a
an exploratory journey into
rigmarole here going on.
Knives.
I've watched at least a dozen episodes of Saturday Night Live.
The good ones. I've watched the good episodes.
I like the Dead Parrot sketch for Monty Python. That's a good one.
Well, there you go. You're pretty much. You're
Ghostbusters, right. That's a good movie. That's pretty much, you know, Ghostbusters, both of those. That's kind of like a bunch of interconnected sketches with sort of overarching plot. If you think
I am going to personally write a review of Power Struggle 7.
Very evident that this group has seen Ghostbusters on multiple occasions.
I've also, I've seen Broken Flowers with Bill
Murray.
Actually
going to be blown away by our sketches. They're so good.
Broken Flowers with Bill Murray was a good sketch film.
It's a good sketch film.
A depressing film by Jim Jarmusch.
Yeah, Irreversible was one of my favorite sketch films.
You see Angela's Ashes.
Gaspar Noé.
There was the Underworld.
Yeah, oh, Angela's Ashes was hilarious.
The sequel to Underworld. I like the sequel to Underworld. That was a good sketch troupe. Whatever, Underworld Revolution, yeah. I think it was called. Maybe Evolution.
One of the biggest things that actually really, I mean, whether your sketches are good or not, I mean, I know, I already know. What really matters is you get so...
I already know, and the answer is they're not.
Is that you just get so dry. I mean, you're a host now, too, Walter. This is a big responsibility.
Which is also, again, so...
If the vibe that night is off, we know whose house we're coming to.
Yeah. Is it, so now, can I take this opportunity to ask about what's going to be expected of me as a host? Or should we do that after the podcast is over?
No, you can save it here for posterity.
I mean, it all depends. If the troops are sucky when you're hosting, you have to be hilarious.
No, but like, should I be going up there and doing like one man sketches in between? Or
no sketches. You can do straight stand up because
good, excellent.
We'll be sick.
That pretty much that answers all my questions.
Yeah, no, don't worry.
Okay, I'll tell Darren that too because we were both kind of wondering that. Darren, one of the other members of Power Struggle, is also hosting.
Yes, he's hosting Tuesday, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm excited to see Darren host. I saw him host at the Nest recently. He blew my mind.
My chop liver here?
Yep, pretty much.
I'm going to see some cartoon all-stars to the rescue.
Okay. All right. You know what?
Oh, I love that joke.
It's a great joke.
It is a great joke.
It gets me
because I actually remember gold. The cartoon all-stars to the rescue.
Yeah. What if, you know, as soon as I get like one or two audience members who vaguely heard of what I'm talking about. You know, like,
then I get the audience.
No, then they just come on my side like gangbusters.
Do you want to move into five questions? We're at 40 minutes, Walter.
Yeah.
Yay. There was a segment we didn't
have. We have a five-question segment.
All right, great. Hit me.
Yeah, we have segments, so what?
Yeah, we don't really try to.
This is a show, after all.
It is. There's a
35
theme
episodes, man. We've had Sugar Sammy on this.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Sugar.
Wrestler Mick Foley.
Wow.
You know him?
I don't know wrestling because I'm not a geek comic like you.
Oh, shit. This is going to be.
This is getting heavy.
I'm glad that remark came at the end of the podcast. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. We've had a bunch, but we've had a lot of. Who else have we had that's famous? Kenny.
We had Kenny Hotz.
Oh, from Kenny. Oh, Kenny Hotz. Nice. Yeah. I love Kenny.
We had.
I call him Ken.
A famous voice actor.
You don't have to prove to me that you're valid podcast.
One guy that drew Batman a bunch for DC.
It's true.
Not even
just like in a book or by himself, like in a subway.
Yeah, no,
a guy.
You got Sugar Sammy.
Sugar Sammy. Probably could have had Sammy multiple times.
Yeah, we kept fucking ignoring his calls. He just kept calling us, being like, oh, I sold out more dates. And fuck you.
That guy's still, I think he's going to die selling out dates.
Like. Well, like, that's the thing is, like, we were thinking about that. Like, we obviously didn't bring it up, but it was just sort of like,
he's actually the fourth uncredited member of Power Struggle.
But like that way, like he was just like he was on the string of when he was like his like 40th sellout or whatever he was doing, and I was like, he was already big, but that was like when he got big, and I don't think he realized how big he was, or he wouldn't have done our podcast.
Put Sugar Sammy's name on the marquee
Power Struggle
for Sketchfest, and see if you get in trouble for it. Just try it.
Mark Morrell actually just freaked out because he was apparently on a bill and like at UCB.
Really?
He's like, why the fuck am I on this lineup? I'm not in this show.
Wow.
I wonder. I really wonder because so many times I've joked about, let's just throw up Celine Dion.
So
see if
that
brings.
You gotta be
Louis C.K. or someone like that.
Sugar Sammy.
Sugar Sammy.
Keep it local, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Start a beef.
PK Subban.
PK Subban's at Sketchfest.
What else has he got to do?
So five questions. We ask
Hit me.
Three questions, which are the same questions, always to all the guests. Then we ask you a question from our previous guest, and then you ask a question into the future to our future guest.
Okay.
So you got to start thinking about that last
future
one.
Future question.
Future question, not knowing who that guest is.
You understand the segment?
I do.
Good, because I don't. Let's go.
Do the theme song for the segment, Walter.
Da, 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 da. Five questions.
That's new. First question. What was your favorite childhood toy or plaything? The telephone.
The telephone.
That's your time.
Give me a sec.
We're going to need to go to the judges for this one.
Hey, what's up?
The answer is a telephone.
He's on the mic. We know this.
All right, I'm podcasting right now.
It's a telephone. Telephone podcast.
Just come in. See you later, bye.
Was that another one of your
kids? Oh, fuck. I coughed.
Was that another one of your kids? Or?
Yeah, that's my teenage bride. That was just weird.
Right.
My favorite childhood toy or plaything.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
VHS copy of Berserk.
It depends. Like, are you saying what was my memory of my favorite, or what would my parent? Did my parent? My parents are always like, "Oh, you loved puzzles."
Your memory.
And I hate puzzles now. Like, I fucking hate them. So.
Did you ever like them?
I think my parents may have forced me to like them.
Like, so. They, like, strap you down in front of the table. Build this puzzle or you don't eat. You're like, You always finish the puzzles.
I have to be honest. I really liked popsicles.
These are not a toy. Did you play with them as a toy? Like, what's you made them a sword and stuff?
What's
like,
the next question? The sticks? Did you eat the popsicle and play with the sticks? Like,
I guess NHL 96. Okay,
'96.
NHL 96. Or
you're like 35 or something, aren't you? Like,
32.
You're like 32, so you would have been like 20 when that came out.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, man. I was 15 years old.
I was like, come on.
I guess yeah, that's not really a toy.
It's not really a valid answer.
Yeah.
It's kind of
first
a toy.
Of all, the thing
I
itself
was not a big toy guy.
A cartridge.
And that's why I said like play there. Like, maybe it's a, was it your imagination? Future sketch comedian.
Like I said, popsicles. Like riding my biking to the popsicle.
Bike popsicles.
Getting popsicles.
Rolling around your hood with the popsicle on the bike.
Smoking endo. I feel this question.
I feel so busy these days, and I just want to return to that nascent state where I was bikes and popsicles, and I was actually a pervert too when I was a child, which I really miss.
Nice.
A pervert.
I'm saving this for my. I'm gonna save this. For,
you get away with being a pervert when you're a kid.
Shit, yeah,
I know. I miss those days.
Shit that blows my mind is that apparently, like, when you were a kid, you ended school at, say, around 3, and dinner was, say, around 6, and those 3 hours seem like a fucking day. And I was like, those 3 hours are nothing now when you're an adult. You're like, I got nothing done. It was fucking 3 hours. And
oh,
I was like,
yeah, man.
You could just bike around and eat a popsicle, and it was the best.
I did homework.
Nerd.
Question the second.
Favorite drink.
When did you plant your first tree?
The actual question is favorite drink.
I was 19 years old.
Hold on to that question, though. That could be yours for later. You'll see what we're talking about.
My favorite drink is rum coke.
All right. Normally we would order it
like
for you,
double.
But it's at your house. So.
Have you ever tried to make a rum and coke flavored popsicle?
Oh, my God.
This is a good idea.
I think you're onto something there, Walter.
Yeah, but it might be only like, it would only maybe like melt halfway because of the booze. It might be kind of weird.
What does booze do with it?
Booze wouldn't freeze.
Booze can't freeze?
No,
not high percentage, but like I guess if you mixed it in, if it was like a not a very
slush.
Strong cocktail, it'd,
no,
like,
if you blended it, if you I think here
I don't know if you get it.
Here's
to
what
freeze.
I would do is I would
solid
put
mass.
The ice in it, like make it like a slush sort of thing, and then freeze the slush. I think that would do a better job of maintaining the
okay.
alcohol.
Yeah, it's not gonna work.
I'm gonna figure this out this summer. It's gonna happen. Third question, Walter.
What was the best time you've ever had planting trees? I'm sorry. No, just without the planting trees.
Best time. Best
like, why are you do you know that I'm actually working on a feature script for a tree planting movie?
I know that you have worked as a tree planter.
You're
we didn't touch upon.
Like,
you've written. There's LA. I don't know if you know this. LA has also written. Which are we up to? 9 parts on the Agoki Nights?
No, it's a 3.
3 parts.
It's a trilogy.
You know, we should do like a trilogy of trilogies, though. That'd be great.
I do have that. I have Squeegee, you know, Cafe Cafes were a trilogy. They became a quadrilogy.
Tetralogy.
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 No, that's 5.
Idiots. No, Tetra is 4.
I feel like you're wrong.
The trilogy of trilogies. I like that.
Alan, I know, has worked as a tree planter. Wrote various plays about tree planting.
It's true that my best time in my
I'm
life I would attribute to tree planting. Just getting my greatest athletic achievement.
That wasn't the question.
I would say it was my greatest time winning a basketball game between the crew bosses, basically the bureaucracy of tree planting versus the planters, and I was just one of the worst players on the team, but I scored the winning basket and got like crowd surfed by a bunch of tree planters in Chapleau, Ontario, aka Buttfuck Town. And I think that was one of the highlights of my life.
Freeze frame, roll credits, that's how your movie ends.
Yeah.
He sinks the basket.
Butt fuck down.
Was it called
that? Sounds like a trilogy waiting to happen.
Was it called that for like obvious reasons? Or?
What, butt fuck?
Do you just mean it was like butt fuck? No,
yeah, butt fuck. No. I mean,
I thought like it was like the sodomy capital of Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Why would you think that? Like it's a super common expression.
Well, not the way he used it. He used it in a weird way.
I added town.
He's
butt
like,
fuck.
Butt fuck.
all, son just walked by.
He's going to grab onto any phrase. It's going to be fucked up.
We're instilling values.
Your assignment today is to create a fictional town. It could have any name you want.
Just draws the little town.
Daddy always talked of Buttfuck Town.
It's like Branson.
Fourth question, Walter. Do you remember it? Then you know. Now you know it's going to be a depressing answer. At any point in your life, who was your favorite wrestler? Our previous guest was Pat LaPrade.
I've already shat on wrestling, and now I have to answer that.
Previous guest was an author.
Rey Mysterio Jr.
But he had the name Rey Mysterio Jr. with it. Is that just the only one you could think of?
I just remember I had a really good friend, Luis Fernandez, a Toronto guy, playwright there in Toronto, and he loved wrestling, and I hated wrestling always. And he would always play some sort of wrestling video game, and I was always Rey Mysterio Jr., and I always...
Any reason?
I don't know.
Like the high flyers?
I like the little guys. The I'm a little guy, so I like the little guy.
Not that little guy.
It's true. He's not little in real terms.
He's actually little.
Who?
Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, I think like Alain would be probably bigger than Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, you're taller than him for real.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
He's really little. Like,
okay, yeah, well, and so I'd always use him. But I also read a couple books on wrestling, the whole, that clan in Calgary. I liked the story. I liked it, and I loved the movie. My favorite wrestler was Mickey Rourke.
He was involved in a WrestleMania when that movie came out. Like,
oh, no
he
way.
Actually had like a fake or a feud with someone, right?
That wasn't a feud. I think it was Jericho, wasn't it? Like, and he just decked Jericho.
Yeah, no, but he came out and he was coming week to week. He was on a couple Raws and he was.
Thank you for indulging us in the wrestling question, by the way.
I have a question.
Oh, I respect it.
Mighty Christian of you.
4B, because that was 4A. 4B, though, is...
What the hell are you doing adding subsquishes?
I don't know. This is just because I don't want to think that the question period is over. I just have another question.
I hate the question.
why would you hate wrestling? It's basically a big glorified sketch fest.
Very sketchy.
I guess hate is the wrong word. I'm actually... I admire wrestling in one sense that they create such great fervor and drama, and they have such loyal followers. I think that is... commendable in one regard, but I mean, to me, it is a soap opera, and I don't enjoy soap opera, and it does at times glorify violence too, which I'm not necessarily opposed to. But
it only glorifies violence.
Yeah, it's
so
right.
I mean, like it's called space.
You don't have to mince words.
I just don't. Yeah, you know, I just don't. I'm just. It's just not my thing. It's not. I don't
that's
hate
fair.
It. I don't have hatred for it.
It's there
fair,
are many people.
It's fair now, Walter.
Well, yeah, you know why, though? Because he's not... Anyway, don't even...
Oh, because he's not an independent filmmaker we had on that you shat on for 45 minutes.
You know,
why would there's an independent filmmaker
old.
That...
well, we had...
That was a whole different thing, okay?
we had Adam Ryder on, who is the filmographer of the...
Who's since become my best friend. I want to point that out.
Did Dinner with TJ?
Yeah, I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah. So we had him on, and he, like, made the mistake of saying wrestling was shitty in the first... You waited until, like, minute 30.
And he said thing, and you let it go.
And Walter didn't let it go, though.
Question 5 is the chance you get. Is your thing is...
Words.
Ask a question.
Okay, I got one for you guys and the next guest or whatever you want to use it.
But usually we
Why
answer.
Have you cried?
Walter, why have you cried?
Why have I cried?
Yeah.
Recently?
Go if you,
you,
you
really
can.
Know?
Do you want? Do you want?
Yeah,
do you want?
Yeah,
do you want? Do you want to add recently?
No, I think in general, but yeah, sure. Recently, in the last year, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was like, you don't want like some childhood memory of a scraped
it's
your
true,
knee.
It's true. Yeah.
You want a real.
That's
memory.
True.
I found myself maybe not entirely sober. watching the career retrospective of Randy the Macho Man Savage.
Oh, my God.
And it got to the 1991 marriage between him and Miss Elizabeth. And it's just, you got to see it. It'll destroy anybody.
Wow.
Like, will you marry me? And it's like, it's so brutal. And it's like, and it's magical. And it's like, oh.
Wow.
Got a little teary.
Nice.
Gotta say.
I can't remember exactly, but I think it was reading a historical piece on the Montreal Canadiens. Like,
wow.
It was I know exactly what it was. I know the article that it was. It was an article.
Super pretentious.
Yeah, it is. That was talking about the hockey, the match that was taking place during the referendum.
Mm-hmm.
The first referendum, I don't know the date.
85.
No, not that.
80.
It's not, like, 70s, I think. My late 70s, early 80s?
I thought it was 1980, but maybe, yeah. I'm not.
Either way, and it was just sort of like, and they put the...
Before or after the brand split.
What? Anyway, they put the results of the election up at the forum in between, like, the second and the third period, and described, like, the moment of... No, or was it when the Parti Québécois won?
Don't even know.
Was elected?
Yeah, well, maybe it was when the Parti Québécois got elected, and...
Did you just take issue with his use of the term won?
Won the election. Got elected.
No, they were just elected, man.
Anyway, so they were describing the scene
the
fact that, like, half the arena stood up and cheered, be it the French or the English half. I can't remember the exact political thing. And then there was, like, this weird divide between, like, people who've been, like, especially, like, season ticket holders and stuff. Like, you've been sitting next to and cheering your team constantly, and then you discover in that, like, single moment that you're on complete polar opposites of the political spectrum or whatever. And then, like, that the Habs were behind in like they were behind going into the third period, and then it was like the goal was like a French Canadian player who set up an English Canadian player, and everybody cheered, and I was like, wow. And I got like misty eyed at the like that like emotion and sport and all that stuff all coming together, and I was just like reading an article and it was at work, and I was like just like wiped my eye, and I felt like a little bitch.
That's nice, you know. After all this talk of wrestling, it's good to hear some true man love.
Will you marry me, Elizabeth? Also, watching
that struggle through the English language,
watching hours of
Macho Man
Randy Savage retrospective, I realized that he never once pronounced the name of Elizabeth properly.
Elizabeth.
So on that,
this is where we wrap it up and we talk about Sketchfest a little bit more right before we kill the
and Randy
Savage. The mics. No.
All right.
Is there anything left? Do you got left? Is there like drink specials?
Yeah, drink specials go all. Just come. I think this year of all years will
be. Is there a signature cocktail?
Any from Tuesday to Saturday, any time. It's gonna be so much comedy. Like, it's gonna be more than most years. I have a feeling. It's gonna go late. You can just show up at any time.
I know in previous years, don't get pissed off at me if this is a thing this year. But I know in previous years, there's been. Festival passes?
Yep, there are festival passes available.
Yeah, we should talk about.
How do you get those?
I believe they're online right now. They're on La Vitrine. You can get them on La Vitrine for lavitrine.com.
$30?
For $30.
Covers your whole week?
A whole week,
that's
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty
How
good.
How much is it individual night?
12.
12?
12? You're only charging $12 for people to see Power Struggle?
Yeah,
oh my god.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of other, troops. It would have been a free show, but there's other troops.
How many drinks do Darren and I get comped?
You're gonna be the sketch troops get jack shit because it's like you're a grinder.
So you're not gonna get comped anything on Wednesday, but you're gonna get comped stuff on Thursday.
Good, all right, because I'll need it on Thursday.
You'll get a couple free drinks.
Yeah.
There's always a few free drinks around for everybody at the old Montreal Sketch Comedy Festival.
People are going to listen to this and be like, you said free drinks!
So you know, spend 30 bucks on a festival pass, you get open bar for a week.
Heard it here first. Mention the podcast.
And you get open bar.
On Walter's tab.
So you can take it out of what you're paying for hosting.
Okay, so Monday, two
Monday,
beers.
Monday to Sunday?
Yeah.
Is there you say come anytime. Noon,
yeah, doors
noon,
are
–
no,
noon
yeah.
Tuesday.
From 8 p.m. onwards, every night, there's usually a late show at 10:30,
okay.
Except for on the Tuesday. But it'll go late even on the Tuesday open.
Will the shows bleed into each other?
There's always a distinct break.
Okay.
But they have at times bled into each other.
Does one ticket get you to both?
No, you have to –
You have to leave and get re-stamped?
Yeah.
All right. I'm just clarifying.
No, yeah. It's two shows every night except the Monday and Tuesday and Sunday.
Think about the fact that you could be paying $24 a day or $30 for the whole thing.
It's crazy, yeah.
It's insane.
Hey, it's called stupid capitalism.
Stupid capitalism.
Sketch.
Is there a website?
There is a Twitter with Theater St. Catherine and there's Montreal Sketchfest. I mean,
all right, we'll put those.
And, you can just go to our website to see what exact troops are playing
at
exact times. TheaterSt.Catherine.com. It's all there, and yeah, it's become. And there's also a video that's on the web called The Conch, that is a promotional awesome feature film. Yeah, Jason Hatrick's in it. It's a promotional mini featurette and it's two chapters are out, and there's three more chapters coming out by the end of the fest, and it's hilarious by Danny Belair. A lot of fun.
So it's coming out every couple days, then, right?
Yeah, there's one coming out tomorrow. The third one comes out tomorrow, and then there'll be another one on Monday, and then there's one right at the end of the fest. The Conch. Montreal Sketch Fest. Alain Mercier. Keith Smoofus. And Walter
Keith, not Waterfield.
Keith, non-Waterfield.
Are you doing our outro for us right now?
I was trying.
Awesome. It's cool. Leland's
stolen outros.
While we're done.
Those sweet, sweet piano tunes you're listening to right now come courtesy of Leland Beckman and Oral Turpitude. Oh man, that was some great podcasting, wasn't it? Anyhow, be sure as always to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, add us on iTunes, buy our stuff, and basically try as hard as you can to make us happy in every single way possible. Of course, be sure to check back every day on 9to5.cc for comics on Wednesdays, podcasts on Thursdays, Scott or Sophie's art on Fridays, and seriously, we'll try as hard as we can to get Zombies and Loathing, Fuck Mondays, and Templars back as soon as we can. Thanks for listening, everyone.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you?